about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog and dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fog and dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fog and dynasty. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man. You walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fight inside of me, and that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. You can reach us through either portal or channel. Lots more news and views for our people. It was really disgraceful yesterday. Black Lives Matter. were paraded in downtown Toronto and went from monument to monument, vandalizing them. At the place where we in the End the Lockdown movement meet every Saturday from noon until 3 o'clock, when we arrived, that's at Queen's Park in Toronto, we found the statue of the founder of this country, Sir John A. Macdonald, sprayed with pink paint, and there were signs painted on that was done, you know, with a stencil or a cardboard stencil, and you just spray paint and the stencil carves out the letters with stuff like defund the police and similar stuff. The statue of the man who basically founded the education system in the province of Ontario, who was then actually Upper Canada, Egerton Ryerson, who gave his name to a university in downtown Toronto, namely Ryerson University, was also spray-painted. Well, last night and this morning, the communists, I mean the Canadian Broadcasting System Corporation, CBC, devoted half an hour of their so-called news show program to giving various highly inarticulate members of Black Lives Matter opportunity to discuss what they had done, or to justify. And these were very, very insolent people. One was Syria, Marcus Ware, That's a female, or at least it looked like a female. And she said that the pink paint, she was asked why they used the pink paint. And that this was because queer people had been persecuted. In fact, many of the spokesmen for Black Lives Matter, and I don't know if this was a major stream of the motivation, but it clearly was part of it, went on and on at some length about the queer people. Now, I thought this was Black Lives Matter, but anyway, there's a whole batch of people who've been persecuted, and whether they call them, they're constantly changing their name, but it was the Indians at one point, then it was the First Nations, then it was the Aboriginals, then it was the Indigenous, but anyway, let's just call them Indians so we all know what we're talking about. another person talked about these being status symbols of colonialism, and you shake your head with disbelief. Sir John A. Macdonald was Canada's first Prime Minister. He was the first among equals of the Fathers of Confederation, and he had a very difficult task to do. First of all, he had to make a nation out of four very different provinces then. Initially, those were Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, what is now the province of Quebec, but was then known as Lower Canada, and what is now the province of Ontario, then known as Upper Canada. Upper Canada, largely Protestant and Orange. Lower Canada, or Quebec, heavily Catholic, heavily Catholic. New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, each with a distinct history of their own, with significant elements in each province that did not want to join together. They didn't want to give up their independence. And Macdonald, through sheer political skills, managed to cobble together an agreement between Catholic Quebec, or largely Catholic Quebec, and largely Protestant Ontario, between the French and the English, and the people in the Maritimes with their own particular interests and so on, to form a nation. And then they were fairly quickly joined after that by Prince Edward Island, by British Columbia, and then the entire, what was then the Northwest Territories, stretching from the Manitoba border west through Saskatchewan and Alberta and what became the Yukon and the Northwest Territories. So this was a colossal act of nation building, and he very quickly realized he would not be able to hold this country together if there was not a ready means of transportation. And in the 19th century, that was the railway. And one of the signal successes of the first 18 years of Confederation was the building of the CPR, or the Canadian Pacific Railway, a colossal architectural manifest achievement, but also just in terms of assembling the workforce, the engineers, and all of that. Just a fantastic action. Anyway, point being, Canada, or these various, we would not call them provinces, were British colonies. What did Sir John A. Macdonald do? Well, he moved those colonies from colonial status to independent nationhood. So we're going to face this statue because of colonialism. these people are profoundly ignorant. This particular spokesman was given the opportunity on another CBC program to explain, what would you say to people that might be sympathetic to your cause, but uncomfortable with vandalizing public statues? Well, one of them called this was artwork. Oh, really? Well, it's artwork on something that they were not asked to do artwork on. I wonder if one could go into one of their apartments or houses, take a spray can, and do some artwork on the, do some artwork, put a Confederate flag on the wall. I wonder what they think of that. Well, it's not really vandalizing any place. It's artwork. Well, in response to that question, well, what would you say to people that are uneasy about vandalizing of public property? And she didn't answer the question. She veered off onto a rant about the colonialism and residential schools and slavery, and they continued to repeat the libel that the Metropolitan Toronto Police had murdered this girl, well, actually not girl, a woman of about 29. This would be, I'm going to say about 6 weeks ago. She was a person who had a lot of mental problems. I avoided saying a mental case, but a lot of mental problems. Police had been called there on what is, it makes you want to laugh, a wellness call. But okay, they'd been called on a wellness call to deal with this woman who had a knife. And apparently before the police actually got into her apartment, she went out onto the balcony, and there's conflicting stories as to whether she was actually trying to get onto another balcony. I think it's up at the 54th story or something. And she slipped and fell. Or perhaps she jumped. But the libel that the police killed her is just nonsense. And yet that's repeated as gospel by these Black Lives Matter people. And you know, I was looking at that crowd on the TV, and I thought, where are the people in this country, leaders, who will say, in the words of grim little Greta Thunberg, how dare you? Yes, whether they were blacks born in Canada, or immigrants themselves, or the children of immigrants, I say, how dare you? With very few exceptions, the Negroes in Canada are all of relatively recent vintage. They've all come in roughly the last half century, maybe even the last 40 years. Many from Jamaica, a few from Africa, some from other Caribbean countries. Now, wait a sec. You came, in almost all cases, from independent, black-run countries, right? You came to Canada. Now, we have to remember this very clearly. It's an absolute rule of immigration that nobody ever willingly leaves a good country for a bad country, right? I mean, would you knowingly? Yeah, I mean, you might make a mistake, but would you knowingly leave, well, let's say, Canada for, I don't know, the Congo or Haiti, which Donald Trump quite rightly calls shithole states, failed states, would you? Well, I cannot hear your answer, but I know your answer, and your answer would be no. Why ask me a stupid question? Well, why is it stupid? Well, why you respond? Well, why would I want to leave this country, whether that's Canada or the United States or countries in Europe, with all the problems they might have, to go to Haiti or to the Congo? And you'd answer your own question by saying, I wouldn't want to go because they are worse. They're shitholes. They're dirty, corrupt, awful places. Okay, so, and that's the basic thinking about immigration. You never knowingly pick up stakes, cut yourself off from people and families you know and all of that to go to a worse place. Okay, so these people that came from Jamaica or from Africa came to Canada. Why? Because it was better. Why? Well, because of our political culture, our laws, our general way of treating one another. And you dare call that a racist country? Well, why did you come? Now, I think this has got to be thrown right back at them. You or your parents chose to come here. Why? Because we were better. That's right. Now, you might call that a white supremacist. No, no, no. I didn't say that. You said that. You and your parent, or your parents said that when they chose Canada. And you want to call that a racist country? Then I've got to ask you or your parents, whoever decided to come to Canada, were you crazy? Why would you leave a black-run country to come to a, what you now tell us is a racist country with systemic racism? Well, they've got to be called on this nonsense and not indulged. There should be no discussion of defunding the police. Not that I'm an uncritical believer in the police for one minute. But what do they mean? Like they abolish the police force? Well, the young black gunmen who are already shooting many fellow blacks will shoot a lot more if there's no police to arrest them. And crazy people will do more crazy things. And I mean literally crazy. I don't mean, this is not a judgmental term, this is a clinical term. Might there be a role for different ways of policing? Yeah, I think there could be. And one of the problems we have, thanks to decisions made by previous governments 40 or 50 years ago to empty the nut house, I'm sorry, the insane asylums, and put many of the people, most of the people back on the street. One of the problems is crazy people do crazy things. I know the theory is, well, look, if you're on your medications and so on, you'll be able to get by. And there are some who can. That's true. But there are many who can't. They go off their meds. They fail to pay their rent. They get evicted. They end up homeless on the street. They end up doing crazy things, which sometimes brings them into conflict with the law. This Negress who jumped from an apartment high up in an apartment in the Hyde Park area of West Toronto had mental problems. The police were called on what is cutely called a wellness check to deal with this crazy woman. Oh, I'm sorry, this disturbed woman. Well, might there be another way of doing that? Yeah, we could spend a lot more money on what are called mental health experts, and they could be sent out on these calls. They have some training in dealing with.
It's hard to even remember all the euphemisms, but for people who are mentally disturbed, I won't call them crazy.
Anyway, they may have more expertise in dealing with these people, but what if they are violent? Is an unarmed mental health expert, does such a person want to deal with somebody with a knife? Or somebody threatening to kill themselves behind closed doors? You're not quite sure what they've got or what they're doing. Well, no, the police in many cases have to be involved. And it's too bad. But, you know, seriously disturbed or mental behavior can run risks. Anyway. The propaganda that's being pumped out over the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation is just incredible. Now, one of the other Black Lives Matter spokesmen was I will spell it to you. I have no idea how this would be pronounced. R-A-V-Y-N. Raven, maybe? W-N-G. Why? I don't know what language that is. That's some made-up name. But anyway, this is what Raven or had to say. Um,
that we are lucky, that's, I guess, white society, that, or you meaning us, are lucky that we're not asking for vengeance. Vengeance for what? Vengeance for what? Well, racism, colonialism. Oh, yeah? Well, why did you choose to come here? And it may not be a very profound answer, but why don't you go back? There are black-run countries, Jamaica, all of Africa, well, except for the parts that are Arab-run. Why don't you go back? You hate this place so much. Talk about vengeance. Vengeance for what? Your miserable behavior is your vengeance against us and our idiot leaders for ever having let you into this country. And, okay, so that was one comment. So, the police did arrest three of them. And they charged them with public mischief under $5,000, which is not a very serious offense, but it is a criminal charge. And in one case, conspiracy to commit public mischief. Well, they were held in prison for a number of hours. Well, late last night, there was more bitching and moaning about this. Oh, they've been held much longer than white people would be. Oh, really? Well, I certainly know of cases that white people have been, white nationalists have been arrested for minor things and have spent considerable time or hours in jail. Well, one of these people, apparently, had not gotten her meds. No, had not been allowed access to her meds till almost the deadline. And she was described as, and I heard this once, and I thought, no, I must have misunderstood it. But she was described as a mad girl. Mad, as in insane. Well, what's she doing walking the streets? And what's she doing, if she's got mental problems, what's she doing vandalizing things? Shouldn't she be taking care of herself? And another one was described as a queer person. Now, I didn't say that. Those were the words used by this spokes thingy. And the whole thing was appalling. Oh, yeah. Later on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, there was a panel of four people, and they were discussing, and this was called the Scrum, where they discuss an issue of the day. In this case, this is the demands of Black Lives Matter. Of the four panelists on the Scrum, three were Negresses, and there was a token white man, John Ibbotson. I thought, this is just ham-handed propaganda. Non-whites constitute about 22% of Canada's population. To be fair, perhaps on a panel like this, there could be, of the four people, there could be one who's black. And the blacks are not even the largest group of non-whites. But anyway, it was just, you know, brainless, brain-dead, brainless propaganda. Well, here's an article from the, what I call a boo-hoo article. That is, I am so oppressed, and I want to tell you all about it. And this is entitled, Racism's Slow Drip. Systemic racism is not always overt. Almost everywhere, there's a slow drip of acceptance and perpetuation of anti-black stereotypes. Now, let's be quite clear. Stereotype has become a bad word. It's not. A stereotype is a generalization based on reality. It's one of the ways we organize reality. For instance, to give you an example,
when there the sky is dark and there are gray clouds blowing around, often, maybe even usually, it rains. That's a generalization, but based on reality. And that helps you organize your life. So you see the sky is looking like that, and you have not had the time to check the radio, the weather report on the radio or whatever, or even if you have, you look at that and you say, well, it's likely to rain, so I will take my umbrella, right? Helps you organize reality. Do black clouds always, I mean, gray or black clouds always end up with a rainfall? No. But the stereotype or the generalization based on reality helps you organize your life. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Well, this is written by Lloyd Wiles. And you look at the bottom of the article and find out, well, who's this Lloyd Wiles? Lloyd Wiles is Chief Executive Officer of Counsel Quest Incorporated, a leader in litigation support and corporate investigations. He's an active member of the Canadian Association of Black Lawyers. I wonder if there's a Canadian Association of White Lawyers. Well, what are you, some sort of racist? He's a co-founder of Malachi Soiree, an annual fundraiser dedicated to transforming the neonatal intensive care unit at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. Well, whoop-de-doo. So, in other words, he's got a fairly prominent position in society, and he's a litigation lawyer. Okay, oh, let's see. He's a chief executive officer of this litigation law firm. So, in other words, fairly accomplished person. So he starts off with growing up in England. Oh, how hard it was. The earliest anti-black racist experience I recall was when I was called a gollywog or a wog. This is a uniquely British pejorative term that means non-white. A gollywog is, in fact, a rag doll, a racially mistreated doll. I'm not sure how you can mistreat a doll on race, characterized by black skin, eyes rimmed in white, red lips, and frizzy hair. Okay, so it's a doll made the likeness of a black. And actually, I don't know if he's trying to put something over on a North American audience, but I'm a trained linguist, and wog is usually used in British slang to mean non-whites. In fact, one version of the term, or of the saying, that Africa begins just south of Rome is the British version of that, and the wogs begin just south of Rome. So, not to quibble, but it doesn't just mean black. So anyway, he heard it when he was only 4 years old, and it upset him. Well, okay, but we're all called names. You know, and that's true. We're all called, different ethnic groups are called names, different religious groups are called names. In some of the tough areas of Britain, the Irish Catholics are called Paddies. The Protestants are called prods, and then he goes on to complain. One of these challenges with systemic racism is that it's not always overt. Almost everywhere, there's a slow drip of acceptance and perpetuation of anti-black stereotypes. This slow drip underpins the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil delusion. Well, yeah, most of us do not particularly want to get into things. Well, I, for one, he says, am sick of being slapped in the face with it and my words falling on deaf ears. Well, he's being complained. Now, don't forget, he's not poor little boy who's been slapped down and unemployed all his life. No, he's become a lawyer in Canada. So this horribly racist country somehow managed to overlook the fact he was black and allowed him to get into the law school. And then once having become a black lawyer, allowed him to move up and practice his profession in our society. So, let's not overhype the word racist. Then he complains about having to go naked through a bar when he first became a member of a Canadian university rugby team. The initiation for the team was as close to a slave auction as I've ever seen, only missing the lashings. Along with the other rookies on the team, we had to strip naked and be paraded throughout a tavern in what was billed as the Elephant Walk. I was told that since I was the black player on the team, I needed to lead the parade. Now, whatever you think of such hazing or initiation, now you think it's cruel or childish, whatever. He wasn't singled out. All the rookie players on this team, white or black, had to do this elephant walk. Now, the complaint there is not about race, incidentally. Well, it is his complaint, but the story he tells is you know more about the hijinks in the sporting world. It had nothing to do with his race. Then he tells a long story. He said, but he continues to experience racism. My more recent experiences with racism, though it was certainly not my last one, oh, this poor guy. I mean, constantly he's run into problems because of race, or so he thinks. While walking to the local subway station in our well-heeled Toronto neighborhood, I discovered the contents of a woman's wallet on the sidewalk. A driver's license, bank cards, and transit card. Upon closer inspection, the ID belonged to a young white woman, and the address was close by. Immediately, I thought I should return the lost items, but hesitated because, as a black man, I knew the situation could quickly shift to me being accused of stealing the wallet. Does that sound a little paranoid to you? If he's returning it and all the contents are there, why would he be accused of stealing it? Okay. So he does not immediately return it. I decided to drop the items at the local police detachment on my way home. Later that night, I met my wife and our close friends for dinner. I told them I'd found the wallet, the contents of a wallet, and would just run it into the police station on our way home after dinner. My wife took charge, found the woman on social media, she was a local clothing designer, and asked her if she wanted us to drop off the items on our way home. Within minutes, they were like old friends catching up via text, but were otherwise complete strangers. Well, that often happens on Facebook. You're suddenly good buddy with somebody. The woman made a comment about how thoughtful we were to reach out and how thankful she was that we offered to return her ID. My wife agreed with the woman and we would meet on the same busy intersection where I found her belongings. When we were nearing the meeting spot, my wife telephoned the woman to say we would be arriving in an Uber. I could see the woman waiting. As our vehicle approached, I wound down my window, waving to her to let her know that we'd arrived. As the vehicle came to a stop, I reached out to hand the woman her ID, and with the window fully down, she took a sustained and painful look at me in disbelief and began screaming in horror, her arms flailing, and ran away in terror. Okay. The Uber driver nervously laughed. That's the most screwed up thing I've ever seen. I turned to my wife and said, "She's a racist." Now, she hadn't said a thing, had she? She had run away screaming. He had no reason to know for what reason. I was angry, as I blamed myself for allowing this to happen. Upon arriving home, my wife immediately called the woman. I won't ever forget her words over the speakerphone. She said, "Well, I saw you on Facebook. You're a white woman. Well, why would you be? Why would your husband be a black man? You seem so nice. I'm sorry. Perhaps I've been watching too much TV. I thought you must have been abducted. I'm sorry. I just panicked. I need to reflect on why I had that reaction." And my wife, he goes on to say, my wife's only reply was, "I pray every single night that my children are not met and judged by people of your character, because you, my dear, are a racist." Well, boy, that put that lady down. Well, let's examine that. Much as this Negro, who is married to a white man, it turns out, may think otherwise, only a small minority of Canadians are in interracial relations, are about 5%. It's an aberration. So this woman would be entirely justified in assuming, and that's a stereotype, I agree, it's a generalization, but it would be a generalization based on fact. She would be entirely justified in assuming that the woman whom she'd seen on Facebook as white would be married to a white man. That would be true in 19 out of 20 cases. You know, if you're a betting person, those are pretty good odds. I would gladly take those odds in a bet. But anyway, she perhaps was not prepared to see this big black guy reaching out of the car, waving at her. And she panicked. Now, I think that might be a little bit of an overreaction. But on the other hand, this is a big city. He's writing about Toronto. And there is every reason for a single woman or a woman alone to be afraid of strangers. Both the author here, Lloyd Wilkes, and his wife, judge this woman to be a racist. All she was scared. One final story. There's a brewery, a microbrewery out in Calgary, called Calgary Brewery. And they have recently produced a drink called the Karen Cherry Sour. Now, I'm not quite sure if that's a beer or one of these sort of mixed drinks, but anyway, the Karen Cherry Sour. Well, they pulled it. Why is that? Well, there have been complaints. Why? Well, the term Karen is a anti-white term used to describe middle-aged women who do not go along with the anti-white agenda, or sometimes are denounced for being entitled, or not quite being crushed by white guilt. They're called Karens. And I think it's a nasty term. Now, it's hard to know who exactly objected to this. Karen Cherry Sour. I'm putting the words together. I'm not even sure exactly what it means. I guess a cherry sour is a cherry-based drink that's sour. Karen is a woman's name. It's not only used in terms of women who have not adopted the politically correct agenda, but it often is. But that too has been so they dropped that. But we now live in the ultimate cancel culture, and to fight back, I urge you, whenever you take exception to something, to speak up. If more people did,
perhaps we would have less of this minority agitation. As I said today, in looking over this, the ridiculous and offensive defenses of the Black Lives Matter group vandalizing historical statues in Toronto. This is the time to really shoot right back at them. Call them the criminals they are. This is, cannot be justified as this is artwork. This is an artwork. This is vandalism. And challenge them. You make all these accusations against this country that in most cases you or your parents came to knowingly. You call us racist, then you're dumber than dishwater. You chose to come here. You left a black country to come here. Why? Because it's a failed country, and you know we're a success. So adopt our history, honor our heroes, or go home. Leave. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Getting a little bit angry there, so, and I think with great justification. So, well, why don't we listen to some upbeat historical music from the Grand Ole Opry. This is from the 1970s. These are some of the great performers, Loretta Lynn.
Now his big hit, Young Love, here's Marty Robbins.
I told Mary about us, told her about a great sin. Mary cried and forgave me, Mary took me back again. Said if I wanted my freedom, I could be free evermore. But I don't want to be, and I don't want to see Mary cry anymore. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, let me be. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone. I want to go home. Mary's waiting and weeping down in our shack for the sea. Even after I've hurt her, Mary's still in love with me. Devil woman, it's over. Trap no more by your charm. Cause I don't wanna stay, I wanna get away. Woman, let go of my arm. Oh, devil woman, devil woman, let go of me. Devil woman, let me be. Leave me alone, I wanna go home. Running along by the seashore, running as fast as I can. Even the seagulls are happy, glad I'm coming home again. Never again will I ever cause another tear to fall. Down the beach I steal what belongs to me, the one I want most of all. Oh, devil woman, don't hold me. Devil woman, let me be, and leave me alone, I'm going back home. Leave me alone, I'm going back home.
Lynn.
Let's make a welcome here. song comes out that really warps your mind, you know, that puts chills up your arms and your legs and you scratch, you know, every once in a while. And the little lady who sings this song records for Epic Records. Would you make welcome Miss Tammy Wynette, ladies and gentlemen?
Today, I sat alone at the window, and I watched our little girl outside play with the little boy next door, like so many times before. But something didn't seem quite right today, so I went outside to see what they were doing. Our little girl say to him, I don't want to play house, I know it can't be fun. I've watched mommy and daddy, and if that's the way it's gone, I don't want to play house. Played house, my daddy said goodbye. I don't want to play house, I know it can't be fun. I've watched mommy and daddy, and if that's the way it's done, I don't want to play house.
Here's a young lady that I know you'll want to put your hands together for. She's had hit records all around the world, and she's singing her biggest one called The End of the World. A nice Grand Ole Opry welcome for Skeeter Davis.
Why does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore? Don't they know it's the end of the world? 'Cause you don't love me anymore. Why do
kisses goodbye.
Let's have a big grand old Opry welcome for Hank Locklin.
Send me the pillow that you dream of. Don't you know that I still care for you? Send me the pillow that you dream of.
Send me the pillow that you dream on. I sign off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on Alt-White TV or WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
In days of yore from Britain's far, would the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever.